Well, this morning, I want to spend a little bit more time looking at the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, we continue to be in the season of Eastertide, which means we're in a season of feasting and celebrating and giving our hearts to participation with the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus. Right? So we don't just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, but we continue to celebrate that. And so as we look at this topic of bodily resurrection, I think it's helpful for us to answer some questions, I think, that seem to go, they're not talked about often enough in the Christian church. And part of that is around what is the purpose and value of the human body? We've spent a lot of time over this last year, as we've been summarizing the gospel, looking at the spiritual impact of Jesus. That the gospel gives emphasis to the fact that we need to receive Jesus where? To the heart. Right? We've spent a lot of time on that. Is that fair? Right? We've been looking at what's the impact of Jesus upon what we believe, what we feel, what we think, what motivates us, and what defines us as who we are. And so much of that conversation is talking about the kind of invisible or immaterial impact of the gospel. But then it leads to the question, what about the physical? So we spent all this time talking about the spiritual grace that's available, but what about our physical difficulties? Does the gospel have any bearing on what we face physically at all? Does it have impact? Does it have benefits? Is it of help? Does it change the way we look at our physical difficulties, our physical weakness, our physical struggle, and ultimately, our physical death? Because with our physical death, there's great implications, isn't there? So we don't tend to talk about this enough. Now, some of the cards that I'm going to end up putting on the table over the next few weeks are actually going to speak to how I would seek to go about celebrating your funeral and mine, if it was to come. Because I'm not actually a big fan of celebrations of life. I celebrate people's lives. And I love that part. But a funeral for Christians is something different, isn't it? It's about life that's about to begin. And it's worthy of even more celebration than this life here on earth. At your funeral or mine, whichever comes first, I would hope in Christ Church Oceanside that the big proclamation, message, and source of hope and comfort for us will be about the resurrection. That's where our hope lies. Not even in a life well lived, but in a life that's perfectly provided for us by the resurrection of Jesus. But I'm not actually preaching on that today. I'm just warming you up for that message later. So today, though, when we think about, does the gospel offer benefits and impact? Does what Jesus has accomplished have bearing on our physical bodies? It's a helpful question to ask because our internal life really sets the tone for and is expressed in our physical bodies, isn't it? That our bodies tell our story. We spend a lot of time saying Jesus has to rewrite our past. Jesus rewrites our story, our failings and the hurt and the pain that has been committed against us. Jesus saves us from that. So our identity isn't defined by that. It's defined by Jesus. Amen? But our bodies carry in it that story, don't they? Our bodies kind of reveal the scars of what we've been through. maybe literally or figuratively. I've actually had the blessing of having a few friends through the years who were physiotherapists. I think it's a blessing. But one of the things that they, you know, we joke about as we get to know each other is, well, what do you think about my body and the way I stand and the way I walk? Is it healthy? I don't know if you've ever asked that of a physiotherapist before or been in that situation. But a friend of mine, she goes, you don't want to know what I think, Ryan. I said, no, please tell me. Tell me what you see. And so I stood there trying to look my best. And she goes, well, this shoulder's lower than this shoulder. And she's like, walk there and walk back. And then she starts talking about the way my hips move, which makes me uncomfortable. Don't look at my hips. Right? And she could, just by watching me, she could see the way my story had impacted me. She could see whether I was, you know, kind of hunching over in discouragement. She could tell those things just by the way my body functioned. So for many of us, our stories do tell what we've been through, don't they? That we actually carry in our body the impact of our life. So it leads to this question, if Jesus is going to heal those inner parts and change us, is there impact for the outer person? Is there impact for your flesh and bones? Now, when we go to this story in Luke 24, where Jesus is appearing to his disciples after his resurrection, watch how they interact and try to understand what's happening. So again, Luke 24, beginning in verse 36. The disciples are gathered together in a room, and they're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has appeared to different people at different times and in different places, but he doesn't kind of stay there. And so now they're left, they've gathered together, and they're going, we've heard Mary's testimony that Jesus is alive. And some of our friends and our brothers were on the road to Emmaus because they're leaving Jerusalem. And Jesus appeared to them there and essentially convinced them to come back to Jerusalem. And so they're all kind of getting together, telling these different stories of the fact that Jesus is alive and trying to figure out what that means. Jesus himself comes and stands among them and says to them, peace to you. Which isn't that exactly what Jesus is accomplishing for us in the gospel? Peace to you. He's expressing the fact that this is all good news. Even though it's hard to understand, it's all good news. But they were startled. I love that. Jesus says, peace, and they go, whoa. Right? Because they're trying to make sense of all of this. They're startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. This is what they think is happening. So they think they're seeing a ghost. They think that Jesus is coming back to them as a ghost, as a spirit. And he says to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Hear the comfort that's being communicated in this. What we see in the resurrected Jesus is that things are different. He's not just going back to the way he was, is he? His body now is in human perfection. It's the coming together of all of God's design and desire and his very nature. It's even better than Adam. It's even better than Eve, humanity without sin. It's now this merging together of divine attributes with human flesh. That Jesus is in a perfected human state. But he still carries in his body, as he says here, see my hands and my feet, the marks of his crucifixion. So here's Jesus fully brought back to life and life better than he was before, but he still carries the marks. In some texts, it almost seems to communicate as though those wounds are even open, yet not wounds anymore. See my hands and see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. Isn't that the truth? To be able to see some things, you have to touch them, don't you? To see something, you have to touch it. This is the bane of my existence when it comes to having kids and stores. The conversation we consistently have is, we're going to go in the store, look, but don't touch it. Especially in breakable stores. Look, but please don't touch. But the reality is, they can't see unless they touch it, can they? I want to see and feel, I want to experience what I'm seeing. What Jesus is communicating here is the resurrection. In order to see it in such a way that you can not only believe in it, but trust it, be confident in it, is that it has to be experienced. It should raise our expectations of what it means as Christians to believe in the resurrection. We want to touch it. We want to feel it in our own lives. We want to have tastes of it, to know of what's coming for us in the future. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So here Jesus is communicating to them that his resurrection is literal, it's actual, it's his, it's the same body that was crucified and buried, is now back to life. And to a newer understanding of life than they could have even hoped or dreamed about. This is the life of Jesus. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy. Some news is so good, you have a hard time believing it. Right? That they actually, it's so good they don't know how to compute all of it. There's so much joy, they're disbelieving. So let me ask a question of us today. Do we get the resurrection and its implications to the point that it gives us literal, functional joy in our lives? Not enough. Is that fair? It's still out there. Doesn't it feel separate from life? Doesn't it feel separate from day-to-day issues? Doesn't it feel very theoretical? Is that fair of how you think of it? We come to Easter and we're going, okay, resurrection, but we still, it's like thinking about a far-off land, isn't it? What we want to find in our Christianity is that the resurrection is so real, it's our defining attribute. Do you know why we do church on Sunday? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. Right? We moved from a people who celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday to being a people that gather on Sunday. Because we're a resurrection people. The reason I sit on this for a moment is to say, we have to go after this. In our prayer life, in our daily life, we have to say there's too much distance between my reality and the promises of the resurrection, and I want to move into them incrementally day after day. The distance that we have between our reality and what's promised in Jesus is too great. And it doesn't have to stay that way. We can move into more enjoyment of and experience of where we see the resurrection because we are touching it. That's good news, isn't it? But we're still disbelieving, aren't we? Sounds good, but how? And so the next number of weeks, I really want us to push into that question of how. How do we enjoy it? How do we experience it? What's being communicated here for us today is that Jesus' resurrection of his body, what it communicates to us and what it reveals is that the gospel, God's great plan for saving us, puts value on your human body. It doesn't just say spirit only, and this body is something we're going to disregard and get rid of later. And you're going to be a floating spirit in heaven that plays a harp for all eternity. Do you know that's not the biblical message of eternity? That's not what our resurrection looks like. You're not going to be a disembodied spirit. The gospel message is that you would have a renewed and resurrected physical flesh and bone body for eternity, like Jesus. Do you see that? Do you believe me? Do you see that in the text? Does Jesus say, this is the spiritual body that I'm going to float around in heaven in for all eternity? You should see my collection of musical instruments. Is that what Jesus is coming to tell the disciples? No, the point that he's getting across is that it's my body. I, myself, flesh and blood, resurrected. Do you believe me? That's the gospel. So it puts value on the physical body for all eternity. That it's worth resurrecting. It's worth recreating. And it has a purpose. A purpose that to be fulfilled. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, the body's not meant for sin, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Hear what Paul's communicating here. God made our human body. And they exist for him, and he is meant for the body. That God is invested in your physical body. God created it at the beginning and felt it valuable enough to save it from the impact of sin and death. And to resurrect it for all eternity. Sometimes we just want to get rid of it, don't we? We're sick of it. But the message of the gospel is actually that he'll save it. So it has value, it has purpose, and it has a plan. That there's a plan for your body. And what we see in the plan for Christ's body is that his wounds that once showed the power of sin now show what? The power of God to save. The very wounds that killed Jesus now act as trophies to show off his immeasurable power and ability to save. Touch the wound that killed me because I'm still here. It's a marker, isn't it? It's a proof of his goodness. It's a proof of his victory. And so the very things that we carry in our bodies, the wounds, the brokenness, the weakness of our life and our story, he will make them whole for all eternity. That's the gospel. That every scar that I carry, even the where my heart was broken down through suffering and hardship and my body shows that, even those things will be markers to say where evil and sin broke me down. He has brought me back to life. Look at my trophies. Look at the proof of his goodness in my life. This is all that's being communicated. through the resurrected body of Jesus. So not only will he eventually and eternally restore my flesh, but there's grace available now for my physical body. So Jesus wants to be not only your eternal strength, but your present strength. He'll not only be your source of life for all eternity, but he wishes to be your source of life for your physical body in the here and now. So our bodies are meant for the Lord. The Lord is for our bodies. Our bodies have value, even eternal worth. And his grace is not only for our spirit, but for our bodies. So it acts as two witnesses for the world. There's grace available in Jesus to either overcome or withstand your current physical ailments. Do I need to say that again and slower? In Jesus, in his resurrected body as it currently exists, is grace for your physical ailments today to do one of two things: either overcome those physical ailments, meaning there is miraculous grace available for you. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen a man on life support, not expected to live, and the doctor said he didn't stand a chance, come back to life. I've seen small physical ailments healed because of the resurrected body of Jesus. But you know what else I've seen? I've seen physical ailments not go away. I've seen them get worse. I've seen them get harder. And I've seen friends die. But the resurrection of Jesus tells us two things. Grace is available to help you now, which could mean overcoming it, could mean healing, could mean transformation, or it could mean the strength to continue. The strength to fight another day. The strength to hold you on till the next prayer time. The strength to help you get out of bed in the morning. And ultimately and inevitably, the miraculous hope and confession that we have of our confidence that what he doesn't heal now, he will heal later. For eternity. Amen? I want a better one than that. Amen? Amen? What he doesn't heal today, he will heal later. That's the promise of the resurrection. So we want to be a people, because Jesus' body, I myself, flesh and bone, stand before you, he says, can heal you now or tomorrow, but for sure for eternity. Right? And so we're a people that are always pursuing resurrection instead of just going, well, eventually. We're a people that believe there's grace now because there's so much grace we know about forever. And we want to be both. And where I get so disappointed in Christianity is where they pick one or the other. We say only healing now, and we never talk about eternity. Or we say only healing in eternity, and we never talk about it now. That is not the New Testament worldview of this. So all of this comes home to say, where do you have physical ailments now? I'm not looking for a confession here. But I want you to consider them. And now I want you to ask the question, do I believe that Jesus works for that? Have I said physical issues are my problem and spiritual issues are Jesus' problem. Because we can tend to do that, can't we? We can tend to go, this is my responsibility, because I know Jesus helps with all this stuff. Is there parts of your current struggle in life that you're not asking for grace for? That you're not seeking new life for in the resurrection? And are there some things that you've said, I've asked and he never answered? Because the grace is there either to overcome, to withstand, or to have hope for the future. And that's what we want to be as a people, isn't it? We want to be a people that believe that Jesus works now because he's promised to work forever. Now, the last verse I'll read before we go to the Lord's table. Here's how he helps prove that. How he helps prove that the gospel's about the physical body. Not only do they touch him, one of my favorite paintings is of Thomas putting his finger into the wounds of Jesus' side. Oh, I love that picture. His doubt goes into Jesus. It's just so powerful and so beautiful. So not only does he let him touch him, but then he says, have you anything here to eat? What a great statement. Jesus really normalizes big, mind-blowing things. Right? So their minds are blown. They're having a hard time understanding this. And he's going, Anybody got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Now, for the island's sake, let's just pretend Mike brought him some smoked salmon. And he took it and ate before them. So my hope would be today as we go to the Lord's table that that very thing would take place. You're trying to understand how. How does his grace apply here? And how do I enjoy this? And how do I hope for this? And he's going, let's eat. Let's make this tangible. Let's eat some bread and drink some wine together and share this meal that you would hear it, even if you don't understand it all, but that you would know the resurrection is real. It's as real as this bread and as real as this wine. And bring your physical ailments to the table today. And make an exchange. Receive grace for those things. Receive strength and receive new life that will carry you on for eternity. Amen?